We're glad tonight, happy in our souls, to be here. Most of all, we're thankful for a hungering and a thirsting in our soul for righteousness. Amen. And we left on a kind of a cliffhanger last night. And the thought that is vibrating in my soul is having the revelation of Jesus Christ in your soul. Now, this is basics. What I'm talking about is basics. And we hear folks talk about deep things and that was pretty deep and so forth. But you get Christ, and in Him is all the wealth of the wisdom of God. You really get Christ, I am convinced. The need of the hour is to have Christ reigning within. Truly, fully, completely, unreserved. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. He's my Lord tonight. And we thank God for His precious Word. Now, it is a privilege. Back during our camp meeting, just briefly to give us a little background. And then it was the first Monday of the meeting, starting off our morning prayer, and I was preparing to go, getting up to be in morning prayer meeting. And I felt kind of tired before, and I thought I was tired. And preparing to go, as I got up and started to move, I found out I couldn't move. That was new for me. And the more I sat there, the worse I began to feel. And after a while, something started happening to me. Later, they told me that all indications you had a heart attack. And it left me in a real weakened state. And I want you to know the Lord was gracious to me. But what I want to get at is, as the meeting went on, and different ones would come in, and they'd tell me about the meeting. Praise God. So I'm laying there on the bed, and I say, now, I know they're not going to let me get up, but I'll try to make a deal. I'll be as quiet as I can if you let me go to the last meeting on Sunday. I thought I could do it, see. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be in the meeting. I wanted to partake with the brethren. My desire, my heart, and everything was right there in the meeting. So I gave my plan out, and they looked at me and said, no way, you're not getting up. And that was kind of a disappointment. I understood it, yet there was a longing, a thirsting, a hungering in my heart for the Word of God. Now, I'm like that tonight. I love the Lord. I love God's people, and I'm one of those that the Bible says we are fools for Christ's sake. I'm not ashamed to own it. I'll do whatever the Lord tells me to do. I'll go wherever He says go. I love Him and I believe Him just like that. Praise the Lord. Let's look in the Word of God tonight. And we pray that you'll have, that God will give you a revelation in your soul and in your heart. Something that will kindle a spark, a fire that will begin to whet an appetite or create a desire, a yearning for the reality that's in God tonight. We have so many in the land tonight that do not have Him, that do not possess Him. They do not have the victory in their souls. And you don't have to be a part of that dry, dead crew. You can have the reality. Jesus said, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, when I read and hear the Word of God, and I begin to, I just take Him for what He says, see? That's where I am. What He says is what He means, and that's the way I've learned to deal with God. And the Lord said to Peter, come, that's exactly what He meant. He didn't mean stand here and try to figure out how you're going to come on water. The Lord said, come. Listen, folks. We need to drop the fleshly mind. We need to lay it behind us. We need to realize that when the Lord says something, we can do what He says. We can do it. He said, Peter, come. Glory to God. There's a lot of things we say about Peter. But I'll tell you one thing. He went. Praise God, Lord. You call me, here I go. Amen. And yes, Lord, the rest of it is a marvel and an amazement. He walked on water. Now, we're just too enlightened and too far progressed to buy that, aren't we? Well, we'd better strip off and get to where we can accept that and believe that, because the Lord is Lord of everything. Oh, I love the simplicity of the gospel. It's precious. Any sick among you, simple, isn't it? Let him call for the elders of the church. Real simple, isn't it? Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Oh, listen, folks, this is reality. This is our bread and butter. You take this away, and we're just like other folk, groping around in the dark trying to get something. But this is children bread. And the Lord gives it to us, and we take it. Dear sister spoke one time. Somebody said, how are you living? She said, I'm living from hand to mouth. He kind of looked at her. She said, from God's hand in my mouth. That's a good way to live. Right out of God and right in your mouth. Yes. Nothing wrong with that, living from hand to mouth. God's hand, see? God help us all. That's the way to live, too. Right from God's hand right into my mouth. Yes. Lord, I believe you. I trust you. Yes. Amen. I'll go with you, Lord. I'll stand up for you, Lord. Psalms 51 tonight. May God touch us in the inner recesses of our being. May the Lord plow down into the cavernous space of our hearts. You know, they talk about dying frontiers. They talk about the vanishing frontier and the last frontier is space. And they're talking about colonizing space. But I got an inspiration one morning at service at home. And I thought about the inner space of the heart. How so much of that territory is unconquered, unclaimed, undeveloped, unpossessed by the Lord. Is your heart fully possessed by the Lord tonight? Oh, does His banners wave over the territory of your heart that it is claimed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that now. Oh, I got a real blessing looking at a picture. The surrender of the Japanese, the formal surrender of the Japanese to the Allied American forces. And there they took down the flag of Japan. Oh, God, I got a blessing to my soul. I say, Lord, that's the way it is. When we surrender to you, we must take down our flag. We're no longer sovereign. We're no longer the master of our fate. We're no longer the captain of our ship. Take your flag down. Oh, that's only part of it. They took their flag down as a sign of surrender and submission. And over them they allowed the stars and stripes to be raised. We are subject now to the rule and the dominion, all administration that comes from what that represents. When Christ is crowned Lord of Lords in your heart, you become subject to His administration, to His thoughts, His ways, what He wants, glory to God. The apostle could say, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. I took my flag down. Take your flag down. Stop waving your independence and your showing your personal stand. See, I don't have one anymore. Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise God. If I have anything tonight, I owe it all to the Lord. Amen. Have mercy. It's a good way to start when you come in the presence of the Lord, folks. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. I love this. Praise the Lord. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. David's praying, folks. You hear me? He's praying. He's digging. He's plowing around deep and He's going into the places that many times we want to reserve. Listen to what He says. Wash me thoroughly. You ever tried to wash a little boy's face thoroughly? Amen. Oh, he ducks and he dodges and he can move. He's just not going to allow you to do it. But David said, Lord, I'm not going to flinch. I want you to wash me thoroughly in the ears, around the face. Figurative, folks. I want to wash. I want everything clean. I want when you finish with me to be, I want to be a new creature. Oh, that's all that'll prevail is a new creature. That's all that'll make any value is a new creature. So wash me thoroughly, Lord. Speaking figurative here. Cleanse me from my sin. Soap and water can't do this. But the blood of Jesus Christ applied can cleanse you thoroughly from all sin. Glory to God. All sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how long you've been there. Doesn't matter who all said you're the worst person in town. You come to Jesus with full assurance of faith in His name and what He represents and stands for, believing from the heart, He'll clean you up thoroughly.
Yes, that's right.
Thoroughly clean, pure, delivered by the power of God. Amen. I appreciate the Church of God. One of the things I appreciate about the Church of God, she teaches, practices, and holds very dearly this concept and thought of being thoroughly clean from all sin. Amen. Thoroughly clean from all of it.
Right.
Praise the Lord. If any shows up along the way, that goes too. We're not going to carry it. We're not going to bear it. We're not going to own it. We're not going to protect it. Wash me thoroughly. Amen. Something pop up, we just put the blood on that too. Glory to God. Got to be clean around here. Thank the Lord for it. Now David, he's very brave and bold and honest in the third verse to say, I acknowledge. You get folks to acknowledging things, we're going to get some help. I acknowledge. Brother, don't you think you need help? Brother, don't you believe you? Oh, they didn't have to pump him. They didn't have to prime him. They didn't have to suggest to him you need to get right. He said, I already know it. I acknowledge my transgression. Oh, get folks to being honest and dealing fair with God. We're talking about a revelation of Jesus Christ. You want reality with God? Then you start dealing straight with God yourself. That's the way to get in. Deal straight, folks. Deal fair. I'm wrong. I'm the one. I need help. I'm off in this thing. And I guarantee you help is on the way. Amen. The angels dispatched already with your blessing, with your deliverance, with power and anointing from God to bless you in the inner part. Talking about the inner part tonight. Talking about in that place that causes men to stand up right and live right whether anybody's around to check on them or anything like that. Got cleaned up from the inside out, you'll be all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't have to preach a lot about outward things when the inside is really right. When it's really straight. Now, I'm just one of those preachers that got called to preach on outside things, but I really know from experience when folks' heart is right, you have very little of that to do. Very little. We can get on with the realities in the business of the church when our hearts are thoroughly clean, folks. But when I find a time that there's a lot of outward preaching and a lot of this, I'll say there's some hard hearts somewhere. Some hard hearts somewhere. We should not do this, especially company around. Amen. We're obedient. We'll do what the Lord says. But inwardly, the work of God starts inwardly. Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. It starts inwardly. The work of God starts inwardly. Praise the Lord. Oh, when a soul begins to feel heavy and loaded and don't know what to do, don't know where to turn, can't find satisfaction out of anything in this old world. Oh, I'm longing, glory to God. I'm yearning. Oh, I need something. Oh, listen. That's a glorious time for this reason. You find out that this world doesn't have what you need, you've got to look somewhere else. Praise God. And that's where the preacher comes in. The preacher comes in with his beautiful feet and begins to tell you about good tidings. Amen. If you're tired of your station in this world, if you haven't been satisfied with what the world has dealt you, if you haven't found peace in the things that have befallen you, then let me tell you about my good friend. Amen. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is the one that'll meet your need, dear one. Jesus is the one that'll lift away that gloom and put a smile deep down in your soul that'll radiate out on your lips. There's not something just, you know, like I call them these pasted on smiles. You can see them in the morning time. How are you this morning? Fine. It's gone. That quick. But then you meet folks who'll say, fine, thank the Lord. And you believe them. You really believe him. You're really convinced. Now his smile was different. And I said this in the Fresno meeting. The trademark of a born again, cleaned up child of God is a smile. Sure it is. Saints of God, that's our trademark. Why, we can smile when everything's crumbling around us. God, deep inner settled peace. Praise the Lord. We can just smile. Oh, glory to God. And somebody's like, what are you smiling? Oh, you opened up a box now. You see, I'm not of this world anymore. And all those things that are taxing you, just don't tax me. Hallelujah. I met Jesus. He's the reason I can go on like this. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Inwardly. When there's a reality within, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen on the outside. Oh, it'll begin to come forth. You know, there's smolderings deep down in the earth. We don't know much about them. But I'll tell you something. Back there, a while back, when that Mount St. Helens blew, that's evidence of some smoldering going on there. Down inside, heat intense. And I'll tell you, when it's, I like to see folks come to the Lord in the slow burn fashion. Just get a little burning. Amen. And it just begins to increase. It begins to intensify. It begins to magnify. Amen. I can appreciate that. I can appreciate the slow burn. Praise God. Because when that fire really gets to going, you know it's founded on something solid. Founded on something that isn't going to flicker out after a while. Founded on something that started from a desire. If you desire to live right and to be right, that's a good foundation for God to meet you at. Amen. You got folks whose desire is not quite right. They want to be in the church and they want to be recognized, but they don't want what all is involved in being what God is calling us to be. Now, David was in trouble here. And this is a pattern. It's a kind of a model. And we can see how to really get to God and some of the things that God requires. I acknowledge my transgression, verse 3, and my sin is ever before me. No covering up here, but the thing is bothering me. It's ever before me. Every way I turn, it's here. And I just can't rest until it's lifted, Lord. Oh, glory to God. I like to see folks agonize and really work their way through and really count the cost and really get tired of sin, really get full of being in that place and willing before God to do what the Lord would say do. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if you don't come to the altar tonight, but it matters a whole lot to me that you allow the word to smolder in your breast, that you allow it to reason there, allow it to challenge you. Oh, that matters a lot to me. Because I have found God a very sensitive and sensible God in every area. And where you have need, He meets the need. Amen. Amen. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David got in trouble. And it's folks today that are in trouble. Maybe not the trouble that David got in, but they're in trouble nonetheless. And I know for a fact tonight that we're living in some of the most troublesome times the earth has ever experienced. We're living in some times now that is just trouble. People are troubled. You can read trouble on their faces, on their countenance. You can read trouble. You want to see trouble. I went down to youth hall building there. And in that building, oh, you could see them, mothers and dads, lined up. And children, school-age children, young children, very young, some very, very young, 10, 9, 8, 11. And these parents were there, and you could see that these parents were so busy. They were all groomed out and dressed up. And seems it was an irritation to them to be down here at this juvenile court with this child. It was trouble, see. We can't control this child. We can't, we failed somehow to bring this child to a place where he's tendable, where somebody can manage him. And if you can't control him, you can't teach him. God help us. Courts are full of that. And I watched these mothers. I sat back and got quiet and watched. I watch these mothers hurry in and they want to be waited on right now. They just, right, that's part of the problem, see. Yeah. Wait on me right now. Can't you see I've got other things to do? Your child's in trouble. You need to look into this. You've got troubles tonight. It's no need to try to get on with your life with troubles all around. Your troubles, you need to look. I need to get out of these troubles so I can get on with my life. These things that are hindering me and holding me back. Oh, there's folks that try to plow on us. I'm amazed at the fortitude of the human spirit and the load that people will carry and attempt to carry and attempt to go on under such loads of trouble, of sin, of disobedience to God and still try to go on. And after a while, they find a breaking point. When folks break under a load like that, after many times there's no return for them. It is the design of the enemy of your soul and mine to load you down and cause you to break under that kind of load.
That's right.
Oh, when you break under that load, when you've tried to be noble under it and bear up with human fortitude, you'll find human fortitude does not do the job, cannot do the job. Can't do the job. It's going to take more than my stiff upper lip to do this. Amen. David recognized, I've sinned. I'm going to tell you something today. They've colored it and they've called it one thing and another. And they look at it from all kinds of angles. But if we'd be very fair and honest, the trouble today in the land is sin.
That's right.
Somebody's sin, see? Somebody's sin. Somebody's disobedience. Maybe my disobedience. Maybe I'm in a family or a house that's full of disobedience. And the consequences of their disobedience is disrupting my life. Sin is at the root of all distresses and troubles that originate in the soul. Sin is at the root some way, somehow. David knew. He knew what his sin was. Now, there's sometimes, there's so many things involved, we're not quite sure what the sin is, but we get uncomfortable, very uncomfortable and very uneasy when this subject is broached and brought up. The subject of my sin. What I remember, a dear soul came to an altar one time, and they knelt down and I asked the question, I said, do you have sin in your life? And they choked and stammered and could have said yes, yes and no answer. Yes, I do. No, I don't. They just stammered around and choked. And I said, do you have sin in your life? They said, I didn't come here to deal with all that. Well, what did you come for? Listen, folks, Jesus Christ is here to deal with sin and to lift it and to clean you. Those that came and said, I have sin in my life and I'm tired of it. I want to be free from it. I want to be delivered from it. They live happy, glory to God. They acknowledge they own it. I have sin in my life. I need help. Amen. I'm disobedient in some place, in some area. I'm off in the ways of my own doings outside of God. We're talking about sin. Transgressing, crossing over God's laws and commandments. David was acknowledging this. Now let's move on. Because sin is something that takes place basically in the inward man. Sure, think about what I'm saying. Sin takes place within the inner man. Manifests itself outwardly, but it takes place within. Starts within. God help us. I've sinned. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God is looking at a man beyond the face value of the man. Beyond the face value. And we're in a world that has so deluded and deceived folks that we put more emphasis on the outside than we do on the inside. To be successful, you dress like this and you walk like that and you all that's outward, see? And when God looks at you, He looks right past all of that. He looks right past it all. He looks right past all your credentials, all your certificates, all your degrees. And He looks deep down inside the heart. Oh, my God. And you can't stop Him. So I don't want Him to see in my heart. I don't want Him to look in my heart. That's just the way He is when He looks at us. Amen. You know, some folks are uncomfortable under the preaching of the gospel. And I like to tell you what that is, what I believe that is. It's the all-seeing, piercing, all-knowing eyes of God looking us over and looking through, looking at our condition. If you feel uncomfortable, God help us now. If you feel uncomfortable at His gaze, that's a pretty good indication that there's something that's not just what it ought to be within our heart. To see ourselves reflected in the pureness of Christ and to become uneasy with that. You understand what I'm saying? One who has no sin, who did no sin, who in whom is no guile. And then at His presence I begin to feel uncomfortable. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. God help us. May the Lord help us tonight. I was shaping in iniquity. There's some things that befall mankind that are complicated things. And we like to explain them this way. You were born into this world and you came here with a kind of a preset or a bend. Just a kind of a off-center about you and me. To where we did not naturally and normally go after God in the way of God. We're shaped that way. You ever notice how easy it is, how simple it seems to be for folks to take off into wrong things? They don't even have to think about it. Just, he broke the window. He took the cookie. Didn't tell the truth. Why did you do that? What caused you to do that? Don't. I'm shaped that way. I'm made up that way. There's a being, there's a part of me that is bent off that way and finds a kind of a naughty pleasure in doing those things. Finds some kind of gratification in doing those things. And we start off early with little ones trying to curb that, don't we? That's what no is all about most of the time. Because there's something about him that wants to explore all the places that are dangerous and hurtful and harmful. David sums it up. I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, you really want to get an impact of this verse? You realize, do you not know we have in our world today? I don't know what to call it. I just think of it as an onslaught of babies, children being born into this world that whose parents have had their inner workings altered by drugs, who've had their mental powers and their systems altered by drugs. And these babies are being born into the world that you and I live in. And the doctors, medical science, is looking at a phenomenon that these children are affected by the mothers and the fathers. And this thought of shaping in iniquity really comes home here. It comes home in a graphic way that the foundation, the whole atmosphere of the children that are coming in the earth now, not only are going to be troubled by a principle that took place way back in the garden, but the lifestyles that's being chosen by people to live. Oh, we're troubled by that now too, see. Shaped in this way. Warped in this way. little innocent babies. That ought to stir people and touch them. You're damaging your children. You're bringing children into the world that no one's going to be able to do much with at all. God help us. They don't know what to do with them now. Let's go on. God help us. We need to pray about this matter. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Truth. Truth. What is truth? I like to think of truth as reality. That which is real. Truth. And we hear a lot about truth. Tell the truth. There's something about the truth. The saints have a kind of a saying. And they, well, to me, when I hear someone say they didn't get the ring. Now, I've never found ring in the Bible, but I find truth. And I find, is it true? Is it the truth? Is it of truth? And that's, to me, that's what the ring is. Did it testify true? Did it balance and harmonize and blend right in with the revelation of God to mankind? If it did, that's truth. And there is only truth. God help us here. And I want to say there's one truth. There's only truth. See what I'm talking about? We can't bring anything else up and consider it truth. It comes from God. He's the author of it. He's the one that only, one and only, who can originate and bring it forth. Truth. And this is what God looks for in man. This is what He places in man. This is that part that is God's revelation in man. It's truth. Sometimes we speak of it as light. God help us. But I know this. Once truth enters in, all falsehood exits. Amen. Let's stay with that one. Once truth enters in, everything false exits. Think about that one. Because upon that statement, I believe that what God does in a soul that surrenders to Him makes that soul forever and eternally His. It can only bear witness to truth. I can only have a hearty amen to that which God has placed in my soul. Oh, we can serve Him now, see. I can serve Him now. You cannot serve God this way that I'm describing through mental powers. You can never think or brain your way into this kind of experience. It's by acknowledging your sin, submitting to God, believing that He is who He says He is, and receiving Him as He comes in. He reveals it. This is what God's looking for in the inward parts. Truth. Truth. May God help us. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I appreciate this. Who's going to tell us the truth? How will we know? How can we understand? How can we be sure? Just how do you know that this is right? Listen to the word here. He says, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. There's something God does for you. There's something the Lord does for the individual. You make me know, Lord. Praise God. Let me say something here. Brother touched on it last night a little bit. He used the illustration of a man skilled in a trade. It could be a housewife skilled in her baking and her sewing skills and so what have you. One who really is experienced in that and understands it and knows it, it doesn't take long to discover whether someone else knows what they're talking about. And it's all based on their experience, their revelation, their understanding. Amen. More so in spiritual things, folks. Much more so in spiritual things. Mightily so in spiritual things. one who has had Christ revealed in him, in her. Praise the Lord. Something marvelous takes place because you're able to identify everybody else that has Christ revealed in them. Oh, that's an extra that goes with it. When you get fully delivered and saved from your sins, you're able to relate to everybody else who's fully delivered and saved from their sins. You didn't have to know them for 20 years either. Praise God. I've been in some places, and if it weren't for the knowledge of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ, because I don't know you and you don't quite do it just like me, but there's been a witness in my heart and in my breath that here's a man that is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ who is as clearly saved as I am. I've met folks like this, and I've had to say, I'm a father. Lord, I surrender to your power and wisdom in cleaning a man up and saving him and putting a witness in his soul, putting something there that where when you say, Jesus, he can weep with you, see, because he knows what you're talking about. Yeah. Oh, we're talking about inward now. Work of God within. This is the reality of having Christ, folks. When troubles come, when the trials are on and the tests are on and the battle is on, the saints are in the battle hot. You know, it's all that's one of the times when it's very precious to have Christ revealed in you. When you're in the battle. Oh, when the battle's going hot. The saints really come in. And begin to pray and begin to sit in the battle and stay in the battle and offer their supply to the battle. You say, supply what? A man that has Christ revealed in him is able to supply something to you.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, yes. I know it's so. I've had it happen so many times. Able to supply you. There's something that comes from them to you. They have supply. Oh, I thought about it. The singers came up and they sang. And some will say it was a beautiful song. Others will say, oh, it was lovely harmony. Amen. And you see, different levels where you get some. Then some will say, that fed my soul. Yeah. Amen. It fed my soul. I remember one time with a song going forth. It didn't have beautiful harmony. I couldn't recognize the tune. And the little sister was very faithfully singing it. Well, that's what she called it. But after a while, the gears shifted. And the Holy Ghost got to witnessing. Got to touching down in hearts. And a hand went up over here. And another hand went up over there. And somebody said, praise Him. You know what was happening? There was that witnessing. There was that reality. Something that the world doesn't understand, neither the folks that just sit around in the pews. They don't understand it either. We're talking about having Christ revealed in you now. Having Christ down inside, actively working, glory to God. This is what David was bemoaning. I know you want this. I know that I have no experience except in working like this. David had gotten in trouble and out and away from God. Now purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, he's talking about a cleansing, folks. He's talking about a reality here. He's talking about more than shaking the preacher's hand and getting up and signing the pledge card. He listened to his words. Purge me. Oh, God, it's a powerful word. Purge me. Lord, I want you to clean me out thoroughly. I had some experience in working in aircraft work and purifying, cleansing systems, oxygen systems. And we had to purge those systems. We had to hook equipment up and get a lot of pressure and blow it through those lines and blow out all the stale trash and whatever was in there. Don't you know the Lord wants to hook up to your life and mine, and He wants to build the pressure up, and He wants to purge, force out everything that's detrimental to us being what He would have us to be. And David is saying to him, do that to me. Purge me. Glory to God. Purge me, Lord. Oh, I settled it in my heart a long time ago. I wouldn't sit in the congregation of the saints and not have reality in my soul. I wouldn't hang around the meeting and not have a blessing deep in my soul. I wouldn't come in and out and not have reality. Now, I know some decide when they hear a message like this, well, I just won't come anymore. I decided I'm going to get what I need. Amen. He's not saying this for you to say, I won't come anymore. It's being said and brought out for you to come up to the standard where God can live inside of you, glory to God. Where He can fellowship inside of you. Where He can direct your mind and your heart and your life all the time. God wants to raise us up, folks. Over there where Paul spoke of, He's raised us up together. I see it. You see it? You see it? He's raised us up. Oh, glory! The Lord reached down and raised me from a lowest state of sin, from a lowest state of wrong, and raised me up now, glory to God. Now, I'd just be hanging in space, but He's called me to sit. Amen! Raise me up and sit me together! Oh yes, there's more than one. In heavenly places. The church of God, undisputable, is a heavenly place. Oh, glory to God. And I'm sitting with Jesus in the church of God. All the saints. Oh, they're so dear to me. The saints are dear. They are precious. I love every one. Wouldn't trade them. Fight for them. Do all I can to advance your cause and your problem to see you get help. Amen. And I found out about this family. Just still finding out. When I found out about this family, I said, why, this is marvelous. I've got 10 folks everywhere. And this is marvelous. All kinds of kin folks. Now get a hold of this. So how can you be kin to them? You don't look like them. I'm kin to them. Yeah, man, you just ask them. Yeah, that's my brother. I'm kin to them, see? Just ask me. Yeah, that's my sister. Yeah, I don't quite look alike. That's all right, but we're brothers and sisters. This is an unusual family and we all love each other. It's a heavenly place. You know, in natural families, there's feuds and fights and grudges. It is. I know of it. I know what I'm speaking. In natural families, you find brothers and sisters haven't spoken in years. That's right. But in this family, you can't get them to stop from speaking. Ooh, they just love one another. They just want to talk and hold on to them. I know you need to go, brother, but I just want to praise the Lord. Amen. This family is a love family, folks.
I'm so glad.
Oh, yes. Family of God. It's a great family. God wants to reveal this in us. Cleansed by His blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this on. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen. Now that was the greatest revelation to me. That I have a family like this. And I'm going to tell you something. This family's not going around poor mouthing and begging either. They're doing real well. Praise God. You know, folks are kind of down on big families. But this is one big family that's doing real well. Glory to God. I'm glad to be in this family. Praise the Lord. Oh, it all takes place. Remember over there we read to you, Paul said about the Son being revealed in Him. Don't you know tonight, it takes this revelation of Christ revealed in us, that we can appreciate more of this great family. Oh, I want to be more faithful and I want to know more by first names and know your burdens and your concerns. I want to know your little youngsters. Praise the Lord. Oh, I want to know everything I can about this family. Praise God. And I've instructed my natural children, wherever you go, wherever you are, find the saints. You go where the saints are. I believe it's in their hearts. You go where the saints are and you'll find the same spirit. You'll find what you were raised up. You'll find the same thing everywhere you go. Amen. It's precious, isn't it? Now, that's revelation, isn't it? That's something revealed. You know there are organizations that don't have this? They don't have this. You're not from my district. You're not a part of my district. Don't come here asking for nothing. Don't come here with a burden. Why, you're in district so-and-so. We just see one big family. The telephone rings and there's somebody in California needs something. Praise the Lord. It rings again and somebody in Oklahoma needs something this time. Now it's Goose, Florida that needs something. Sometimes we have to look on the map to see where that place is. But it's some of God's people there, and that's our people too, so we better start praying. Oh Lord, help us to be preserved in this family. Let this revelation grow in our hearts till it swells until the earth hears the chorus of unity and love and power, alive that have been delivered, clear and free from sin, living on top of this thing, proving every day that Jesus is Lord. Oh, this is what it's all about, folks. When you get around your neighbor people and you get around the neighbor folks and you demonstrate by your life that you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. This is what it's all about on the bottom line, see. God, help us now. If we don't have this, it doesn't matter how seemingly powerful our preaching is. It's a failure if we don't have this. We're failures if we don't have this. God, help us. And I'll tell you what won my heart more than anything else was the love and the reaching out and folks that showed a genuine concern for my spiritual state. That did it. They're interested in me being saved. Interested in my family. They didn't forbid me to bring my family. Oh, do bring your family, brother. Amen. We want them too. Oh, this is the result of it. And I'll say it again. When truth is revealed in the inward parts, everything false has to exit. I just don't believe that anymore. I just don't hold that anymore. Jesus has been revealed in me. It's no struggle, folks. It's not a struggle whether or not I'm going to go with Christ or whether I'm going to deal with tradition. It's Christ I'm going with. It's Christ I'm standing with. Praise God. And the poet said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground, family tradition, community tradition, tradition is sinking sand.
That's right.
Amen, it's sinking sand, folks. Amen, 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 amen. The angels are jumping up and down. Praise God, they don't have what we have. Amen. Angels don't have this. Purge me. If I had the power of vocabulary, I'd like to be able to lay bare and make clear to every mind what this cleansing and cleaning effect by the blood of Jesus produces and works in our lives. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Oh, my little boy. Sometimes I take him and give him his bath. He'll slosh around. He likes to play around. And finally, I said, I want you to be daddy's clean boy. I want you to be real clean. Let's get soap and really work on it. And he'll work on the line and say, am I daddy's clean boy yet? Oh, the Lord wants us to be his clean children. He wants us to be able to be on display. Look me over everywhere. I'm one of his clean children. Glory be to God. Cleansed by the power of God. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, what a picture this is before us. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Oh, he was down in a sad and forlorn position and condition. But Lord, you can make me feel joy and gladness. Lord, you put it down in my heart. At the revelation of Christ, he places joy in our soul. Another thing about the Christian experience is one of joy. Joy. There is a delight. There is something very special. It's beyond just a pleasurable thing. But, you know, joy is edifying. Something that's joyous is edifying. It, It uplifts you. It betters the whole condition. You take joy out of a situation, it becomes drudgery. With joy shall you drink from the wells of salvation. You see, there's joy. There's just a feeling of well-being, of fulfillment. This is what he means by joy here. Fulfilled, satisfied, well satisfied with joy and gladness. Amen, amen. Inwardly, praise the Lord. Let's move to another thought quickly. We're still working with the inward part. But there is something here that a natural man cannot receive. There's something here that the natural man, let me say this, if there is a spiritual difficulty that someone's having, God anoints and blesses the ministry to be able to clear up any spiritual difficulty. But one will never be able, I do not believe one will ever be able to preach the gospel clear enough to the satisfaction of every question in the human mind. Think about what I'm saying. It will take Jesus Christ revealed to erase the questions. There's no preacher around that's going to be able to satisfy all the questions that the human mind can conjure up. But oh, once Christ is revealed, I'll tell you, those questions begin to melt. They begin to dissolve. Well, how do you know? I've heard folks say it. Well, I really can't explain it, but glory be to God. I'm so satisfied now. And I say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Dear sister told me one time, I had some questions. And she said, well, brother, the Lord will help you. And I said, Lord will help me. I need help too. But you know, when the Lord revealed and blessed me to understand some things about holiness and purity and how He wanted us to walk, those questions dissolved. They dissolved. Do I have any questions, Lord? In other words, there's something satisfying about Christ when He's revealed in us. Something satisfying. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel feeble in trying to describe to you the power and the mighty working of God when it's inwardly operating. One verse. 1 Corinthians Chapter 2. As quickly as we can now. What we're looking for now, what we want from God now, is this revelation within. Again, I'm going to remind us, when we pray, we can ask the Lord, reveal Jesus Christ in me, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless me. Help me, Lord. The 11th verse. I'm going to need to read a little more here. 11th verse. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, in that series of verses, many things are said, but let's suffice to say this. It is the Spirit of God that knows the things of God. The Holy Spirit is God's executor in all spiritual matters. Amen. He's the one. He's in charge. He is the one. Now, He is the one that is able, God help us now, to bless us in a way that inwardly we become satisfied. We become very satisfied. We become very settled. Praise the Lord. Tonight, may God help us all that we would have truth reality of Jesus Christ in our inward parts. Do you have that reality tonight? Can you from your heart now say with certainty, Christ is in my heart. Christ is in me. He is my hope of glory. He is my everything. Can you say that tonight? If you are hesitant in saying this, would you humble your heart and come and pray and ask Christ, come reign in me, come dwell in me. Lord, reveal yourself in me. Bless me in my inner being. I am afraid that the Christian life, many times there's attempts to live it by looking at others and seeing what they're doing, and then you kind of pick something you'll do. You kind of pick a standard that you'll live by. You kind of, you know, well, I'm not going to do as much as that one, but I think I'm doing enough. Folks, that's all out of the mind. God will settle that. He'll settle all that for you. You won't have to wonder if she's right or he's right. God will just lead you so true. Just as true and smooth. You'll be growing and prospering. Why? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ in me. Christ in me. Let's think about this tonight. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied tonight with your station, your place in God? Are you satisfied tonight? Would you be willing tonight to take just what you have on hand and walk up to the judgment bar and say, Lord, I'm cashing it in now. I'm cashing it in. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to cash in tonight. Just what I got on hand. I'm satisfied. I've got everything that you have given to me, and I've got it working in my life. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's very challenging to my soul. But don't you know he desires truth in the inward parts? When he looks, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for that which has been revealed in us by the Spirit. That's the only reality there is. Think about it. What I know, what I've learned, what I've heard, that won't even come up on the register. But what's down inside my heart, that comes up. That registers. Amen. That registers. I feel awkward at a time like this, because what we're really doing is pleading for souls to come to the altar and get help. That's what we're doing. We're pleading that the people of God who have already shown a love for the things of God would go that extra step now and get the realities working inside of them. You've already demonstrated your interest and your concern about eternal things. You're here. Now let's go a little further. Lord, I want you to work in me now. I want you to open me up, Lord, to where I can freely say amen. Where I can freely rejoice in my soul. Where I can freely appreciate the precious songs of Zion. There's more to worship, folks, than just what we can perceive with our eyes, ears, and all that. There's something that takes place. It's a communing with God. It is a phenomenon that is everyday experience to the truly born again. God help us. Every day, this is the way it is. He walks with me, little children said. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. That's true. He's real like that. Is he real to you tonight? Is Christ real to you tonight? Is he your Savior tonight? Is he really your Savior? We like to encourage you to come and pray tonight. And when you come to pray, you open up before God. Lord, come and reign in me. Come and live in me, Lord. Reveal yourself in me. And you can expect from this time forward Christ to be very active in revealing himself. You can expect from this time forward things will begin to happen in your life. And you let him have this kind of right away. Amen. And we ought not be afraid or draw back at this. This is what we want. This is what we need. We can't go any further in advancing the things of God or even being instrumental in carrying the gospel to our generation until it's real in us. Amen. We've got to carry it to our generation. This is a part of our responsibility. Every saved person has a place in this responsibility to be a living, breathing example of God's Word wherever you are, in every circumstance. Now that keeps me praying. That keeps me asking God to help me. Help me, Lord. I didn't get to one point tonight, but I'll just state it. Perhaps we can take it up a little further. Jesus knows what's in man. He knows what's in man. Now, there is absolutely no way we can fake this. See, He knows what's in man. There is no way that I can go through whatever rituals and satisfy God that I'm your child, you're in me. There's no ritual to do that. There's just children sincerely coming and kneeling and saying, Heavenly Father, have mercy. I want you to help me this way. I want you to reveal yourself inside of me, Lord. Lord, I want you to bless me till your image, the poet said, till thy glorious image is reflected there, till the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. There's something special tonight that God has for every one of us if we'll come to Him. This is revival time, folks. The church is the prime and number one candidate for revival. I'm glad when the neighbors come. I'm glad when folks come in. But make no mistake about it, revival is for the people of God. Amen. And let us take full advantage of these times. Let us kneel and pray and weep together and become powered by God's presence and inspired and lifted and possess our possessions in peace and love and harmony and go forth. This meeting is for us. The results of this meeting will be the blessing to the community and to our friends and loved ones. Amen. After this meeting's gone, the results then will be the blessing. Right now, think of it as a workshop. You ever been to a workshop? You get in a workshop and they start working on details and areas and you say, I need that. And you go in that little session and you get the notes and you take, and you go, let's think of it as a workshop. The Holy Ghost is bringing things up in the workshop, little clinics, and I see places where I need help. I'm moving up. Amen. That's encouraging to the preacher. I'm encouraged in God, but you know when folks start eating, that really makes you encouraged. That really blesses you. I've heard too many cooks say it. Oh, I feel so wonderful. They ate everything. But, oh, you let everybody walk out and go down to Burger King. You mean they didn't want this meal? They prefer Burger King? Sometimes spiritually that's what we do. We prefer something been freeze-dried, dehydrated, and add a little water and blow it up. We say, that's wonderful. But a real nutritious feeding that's going to do good in my natural body, thinking of the soul also, in my soul, in my spirit, my walk with God, my disposition and place in God, I need to eat. I need to eat. This is for my soul, my inner man. I need to eat. I'm just a sitting here, sleeping myself out into eternity. I want to be more potent than that. Yes. Praise God, I want to be more potent than that. Lord, help us tonight to come and pray. If you have a need, Lord, help us tonight to come and pray.